These enormous sums of money, war has been declared on the city's welfare system. Eight mothers receiving welfare assistance brought suit in federal court attacking the recently adopted simplified payment system, which provides a flat supplementary grant of $100 a person each year for clothing, household, and furniture needs. About 150 mothers on welfare assistance staged a demonstration at a local store demanding credit for purchase of winter clothing. It would seem that all across the nation, the most fundamental need in welfare is to find an alternative that will do away with the destructive effect of the present system on the spirit of those it is designed to aid. In essence, if you give a man a fish, he will have a simple meal. If you teach him how to fish, he will eat all his life. Standing by in New York City is night call guest Mrs. Beulah Sanders, a welfare mother and chairman of the citywide coordinating committee of welfare groups. Mrs. Sanders, good evening.
Good evening.
And thank you for being with us. Mrs. Sanders, what is it that our welfare system is doing wrong in spite of the billions of dollars that are poured into it?
Our welfare system is doing wrong in the sense of not providing enough money for people to live decent. It does not tell people what it's entitled to, what they are entitled to, and all of the things that they can get under the past regulations. In this present day and time, in New York City, for example, they have cut out the regulations that people had, the only means to get special grants for the necessary clothing and the necessary furniture that they needed for their homes. With the flat grant into New York City, they can't afford that. It is not enough money, and welfare has their thing of saving money for the city instead of saving people.
There are some popular, I'm going to say, misconceptions about welfare, and there are a lot of people who are critics of welfare, and I'd like to just address myself for a moment to some of these premises. One is that many people who are not on welfare feel that they are carrying a tremendous load, that their tax dollars are going to help people who are not interested in helping themselves. Is this true of most people on welfare, that they are not interested in helping themselves?
That is not true. Most welfare recipients, and I would say 90% of them, are interested in helping themselves. In fact, I know of welfare recipients that have tried to help themselves by going back out into the mainstream of life trying to hold a job. But what has happened that when you have been on welfare for a number of years and you go to seek employment, they find out that you've been on welfare and they consider you not fit for employment. They do not want to trust you, and they do not feel that you can do this job. Welfare recipients will work if given a chance, but there are no jobs, because if there were, our men would not be on the corner. They would be holding a job.
There are some people who say that men deliberately leave their homes because they know if they leave their homes that it will not be difficult for their families to get welfare assistance. Is this true? That they willingly leave their homes?
These are men that have been beaten down by this society and the system in which we live. They leave home because they do not make enough money to take care of their families, and the only way that they feel that their families will be able to eat and at least have a little clothes to go around is that they can receive it from welfare. You take a man that's got 7 head of kids. He cannot take care of the 7 head of kids off of $70 a week. We know that our men do not get the kind of job that will keep them in the home with their families. That's one thing that we are fighting for. Educate our men, train them, give them decent jobs so that they can go home with their wives and they won't have to leave in order for them to at least have a roof over their head and to have a little to eat.
Does the system have programs attempting to assist welfare participants in getting on their feet? Do they have these programs?
They have programs, but every program that I have ever known the department to try to do has been a failure. They have programs right now wherein women are being trained to be case aides. And that is not making enough money because they still have to receive supplementary welfare. They only make between $70 and $80 a week. That is not enough money to maintain a family. So the program is really not doing anything to help them. We want the type of job where we can get off welfare completely. And our women have enough education and skill to do some of the jobs that the caseworkers are doing today. The only thing that's holding us back is the fact that we do not have a college degree. And those are the requirements.
Going back to one of the earlier statements, answers that you gave to one of our questions, I just want to get it clear in my mind again. You say that when people attempt to get off welfare and they apply for a job, that there is discrimination against people who have been on welfare?
There is discrimination against those people.
And this is because they feel that these people are not trustworthy, or they're not reliable, or they don't have initiative?
Right. I'm talking from experience.
Right now, a number of mothers in the New York City area, as well as in Philadelphia and other areas across the country, have begun to organize. You are protesting the current welfare program. Am I right in assuming that you feel that the welfare program is outdated, that it's not doing what you feel it should do?
It is outdated. In fact, they are still going on operating the welfare system on rules and regulations that was implemented back during the early 30s. We are living in a day and age of where you have to move forward and not go backwards. The welfare system is rotten. It does not help people to get on their feet. And I don't really think that they want welfare recipients to get on their feet, because too many people would be out of a job.
Do you feel that welfare is our present-day extension of slavery?
That's exactly what it is, because we have no voice. And what they're telling us, that we have no rights. They're telling us we have no right to protest what is really happening to us, and that we should sit back and take it and like it. And our women are saying today, no good. We cannot live in this kind of a system. We want a voice in all policies. We want to make decisions which governs our lives. We want to tell you what kind of jobs we want.
What kind of jobs do welfare recipients want?
Welfare recipients, quite a few of them, would like to be trained to be stereotypists. They would like to be trained to be nurses. And all kinds of jobs that would permit them to work in offices, and not the kind of job that would permit them to just shuffle papers. We got people that would like to become teachers. They cannot go back to school to get that because they do not have the kind of money to pay for that training. The welfare department don't send recipients to college.
Are you on welfare, Mrs. Sanders?
Yes, I am.
How large a family do you have?
I have three children, age 11 and 5. The 11 is twins.
What is the average assistance each person receives on welfare?
The average assistance for a family of four is it has gone up to $3,100 for a family of four.
$3,100 per year?
That's it, per year, for a family of four. The labor statistics and all kinds of studies have been made just in New York alone that it takes at least from $9,000 to $10,000 for a family of four to live.
Now, out of this you receive $3,300?
That's just what I receive.
And out of this $3,300 per year, you have to pay rent, buy clothing, as well as food?
I have to pay rent, I have to buy clothing, and I have to buy furniture. I have three young kids. I cannot make them sit down at all times. I have to give them leeway to exert their energy, and it's impossible to buy a piece of furniture that will last forever.
And you have no other income?
I have no other income.
Would you say that your situation is typical or average?
I would say that my situation is typical of what's happening around the country. I'm in a situation where I cannot I have to live from day to day, and I just can't continue to live that way.
Now, there is a food assistance program. Are you involved in that?
Yes, I'm involved in that. But I must say, they have just improved that to the point where children will eat some of what is being given out. The food that they were given out before, the canned meat, so awful that I must say dogs wouldn't even eat it. They turn their head.
What other kind of food do they offer?
Right now, they're offered canned tomatoes and canned chicken and things like that, canned peas, juice, canned milk.
There are no fresh vegetables?
No fresh vegetables at all.
What about frozen foods?
There's no frozen food at all. We get all canned. We get dry meal, flour, rice. That's it.
Do you get fresh eggs?
No eggs.
No eggs at all?
No eggs at all.
This is
canned eggs, which is powdered. My kids won't eat them.
This is Night Call in New York, and tonight our conversation, People on Welfare, and what sort of rights they should have. Our guest is Mrs. Beulah Sanders, organizer of welfare recipients in New York City, and we will take our first call tonight from New York. Mr. Prechet is hearing Night Call of WLIB-FM. Mr. Prechet?
Right.
Good evening, sir. Your question.
Good evening. First of all, I'd like to thank you and Sister Sanders for the beautiful job you've been doing in the community. My question is, I think it's pretty well known that, you know, the majority of the welfare caseworkers in the city are white middle class background. And in too many cases, I think, you know, a lot of these people are inexperienced in the field of social work. You know, I mean, a person can qualify to be a caseworker as long as he has a college degree. You know, that can be in social work or basket weaving or that much. And I think the city really does have the means to recruit and train, you know, large numbers of ghetto residents or community members to do this kind of work. These people would, I think, have a better background in the culture and, you know, more importantly, the needs of the people that they're going to be servicing. I've visited several welfare centers around the city, and the treatment that the recipients get, you know, just to go down to get a few dollars, you know, is really degrading. And I think it's vitally important, you know, that something is done about this as soon as possible.
Mr. Sanders, how have you found the professional, like caseworkers or the people who work for the welfare department? Have they been sympathetic to welfare recipients?
Some of them have been sympathetic to our movement, and they've been sympathetic to the needs. And I must say, there are still some that feel that the money comes out of their pockets.
Right.
And there are still some that really harasses clients and tells clients what they can't do and what they shouldn't do, and they're not going to give them any money, or they're not going to request that they get a check because they didn't do what they said to.
That's true. I'll tell you, I mean, I'm working right now in a community mental health center up in East Harlem, and quite often I have to take patients down there, you know, to get money and whatnot, because most of our patients are welfare recipients. I can remember situations where I've gone down there, you know, half an hour before the center is open, and my patient has had to sit there. This is a, you know, patient with severe, you know, emotional problems and whatnot. Has had to sit there from 8:30 in the morning till 5 o'clock in the, you know, in the afternoon, trying to get a lousy check for $7, you know, his daily ration for meals. That's, I think, a little bit too much.
I would say that he was lucky if he got $7 for some for a meal.
Yeah.
Because what they do in the welfare center, if you come there and sit all day without being seen, they will give you $1.40 at the end of the day, which is $1 for you to eat,
right,
and 40 cents coffee.
Thank you for calling, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
This is Night Call in New York. We'll return to our guest, Mrs. Beulah Sanders, following station identification. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest welfare organizer Beulah Sanders after station identification.
Because I happen to be black, every once in a while someone asks me what I really want. Well, the answer is simple enough. I want what every wife and mother wants. I want a job for my husband so I can stay home and mind the children. I want the prices in the stores in my neighborhood to be the same as anywhere else. I want clean streets, safe streets, a place for my children to play. I want my children to have the same chance at a good education as other children, so they'll have a chance at a better life than I've had. If I wanted any less for my family than other mothers want, what kind of mother would I be?
It isn't easy to get by in the cities these days, for blacks or white. Our cities need help, your help. If you think there's nothing you can do to help, think harder. Send for the free booklet, The Turning Point. Write Night Call, Pomona, New York. Ask your own questions direct. Speak for yourself. Collect from anywhere in North America to guest Beulah Sanders about what sort of rights people on welfare should have. Call Night Call Collect from the East and Midwest on area code 212-749-3311. From the West on area code 212-749-4300. And from the New York area on 866-5010. Again, Del Shields.
And we return to our guest tonight, Mrs. Beulah Sanders, who is an organizer of welfare recipients here in New York City, as we continue with our conversation, people on welfare and what sort of rights they should have. And we'll take our next call from Jacksonville, Florida. Mr. Washington is here in Night Call of WRHC. Mr. Washington?
Hello.
Good evening, sir. Your question?
Speaking to Mrs. Sanders, she was stating that she had canned food that was given out to children, to people who were on welfare, that dogs wouldn't eat. Now, what type standards had been set up by the, Health Department of New York State, and also from the Federal Health Department, that would govern the canning of food that would not be fit for human consumption? But this just doesn't seem possible that the Health Education and Welfare Department would allow surplus foods to be packaged whereby they would not be fit for human consumption. And another thing, too, and when you say that perhaps her children would not eat powdered eggs, perhaps her children have never been hungry, you know. She should perhaps have been living in a life of perhaps too much ease, or perhaps some of the others have been living in life of too much ease, and they don't know what abject poverty is.
Well, I think, sir, I think that's an easy way to rationalize. I find it kind of difficult to think in terms of a child going to school and turning through his little books, and the teacher is talking about proteins and fresh eggs and fresh vegetables. I don't know of any school book that prints any reproduction of pictures of powdered eggs or canned meats. And I think, too, that when you sit a child in front of a television set, when we know the vast influence that television has had on America, and a child sits back and looks at middle-class white America and sees this as what he feels is a part of the life that he should be enjoying, and then he's got to turn around and eat canned meats or powdered eggs, I don't think you're being fair.
I don't think you're being fair. His mother or father can afford a television set, but I'm sure they can afford fresh meat.
I doubt that very seriously. For many people, television is the only entertainment in the world for them. Most people can't afford to go to the movie, but they can have a television set.
Now, what is most a problem of this? What do we need most? I mean, we get what we need, or we get what we want. Now, Bill, let's on a...
Well, we're being realistic. Now, I have eaten powdered... Now, wait a minute. Now, I have... Now, wait a minute. I have eaten powdered eggs. You know, and I know... No, and I've also drank powdered milk. But now, let's talk about what's happening in 1968. You know, I can recall when I was a youngster, my father sent me to the store and I got 5 cents worth of soup greens. But I don't expect my children to have to go out and get 5 cents worth of soup greens. We're talking about 1968. We're also talking about...
I eat yellow grits, too. You know, I came up back with the NRA and all the rest of that stuff in the National Recovery Act. But if you've got somebody that's going to sit back and wait for somebody to give it to them...
Well, they're not waiting back. If you're talking about $3,300 a year for a family of four...
Well, somebody's got to get up off that and go to work. Now, we have opened the door, you know, and let the cat out the bag, and we haven't done a thing about it.
Well, I don't agree. I don't want to take Mrs. Sanders. I know Mrs. Sanders can take care of herself, but I just like to inject this. In this year of 1968, a group of mothers have decided to try to make some changes and call attention to the fact that there should be some changes affecting the welfare system. So,
I know. I know what it is to be poor. I was raised and educated in the South, but I have yet for my mother and father to put yellow grits and that salty, ridiculous canned meat on the table for 11 head of kids to eat, and I came from a family of 11. And we struggled like mad. I was working at the age of 13, so I know what it is to be poor.
And I'm not sitting back enjoying luxury.
I don't intend for my kids to eat the meat if they don't like it.
You have to get out and work, but they didn't resort to having to sit back and wait for the welfare to get them canned ham and everything else that goes along with it.
Welfare has a responsibility to take care of the needed people. People that are in need, welfare department has a responsibility to see that that family is taken care of.
Well, don't you think the welfare department has a responsibility to find out what caused these people to be needy? You know, we're treating the aftermath of a disease instead of curing the disease that in many instances is self-perpetuating.
Welfare has a responsibility to lift people out of poverty. And if people want jobs, and I'm talking about decent jobs, with an adequate income, and I'm not talking about a job that is going to pay a person $4,000 a year, then it's their responsibility to train, if training is needed, and to see that that person is employed in that job so he or she can move off the road.
What happened to our public school system?
The public school system is shot. They are not educating our children because they're reading 2 and 3 years behind and at least 2 years behind when they come out of high school, and they can't get jobs.
That's in New York.
That's in New York.
Mr. Washington, thank you for calling, sir.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you. Out to Detroit, Michigan, Mr. Nyson is hearing Night Call over WJLB. Mr. Nyson, good evening, sir.
Good evening, Mr. Shields. I'd like to congratulate you and your sponsors for having this subject on the air. I think it's much overdue. I'd like to ask your guest what she thinks of the proposals, for example, the guaranteed annual income or the child allowance, if her organization has discuss the relative merits or demerits of these proposals as a form of solution to the problem.
Mrs. Sanders?
We have discussed the two merits. We are for a system which guarantees recipients the same full freedoms, rights, and respect as all American citizens. The children laws, we do not go for it because, in a sense, it is giving the rich as much money as the poor. And right at this point, I don't feel the rich needs anything except to give us some of that money. And it's not that we are not willing to work for it. If they open those doors and give us those jobs, we'll take them. But they're not about to do that.
No.
And a guaranteed annual income is the only thing that is going to guarantee people the same full freedoms and rights and respect as any American citizen in this country.
Well, now, wouldn't a children's allowance make it possible for the husband to stay in the home and not have to leave, as is the case presently?
I'm not so sure that it would. I'm not sure in my mind whether it would be enough money in order for that man to stay at home.
Well, of course, now Representative Conyers from Detroit has suggested $10 a month per child.
$10 a month per child?
Mm-hmm.
What would $10 buy in this day and age?
Well, As I say, this is his suggestion as a children's allowance. I'm not trying to defend or criticize his suggestion, but I think that the purpose of your organization in pointing up the inequities in the welfare system is for reform.
Right.
And you see, and the philosophy that you present, which is that the welfare system should make it possible for people on welfare to get off, is not really the philosophy of the welfare system. That's what it should be, but that's what it isn't.
I know.
Right?
But
okay.
It should be.
All right. Now, realistically, looking at what is politically possible, don't you think it is possible to develop a system which would enable the man to live with his wife? Under the present system, in effect, the welfare system says to the woman that if she lives with her husband, she is going to be cut off and will get nothing. But if she lives with another man, she'll be eligible for assistance. At least that is the effect of the system in Michigan, and I think it may very well be in New York and elsewhere.
Well, that's another lawsuit that we won in the courts. That's the man in the house rule, that a man is not responsible for children that is not his.
Right.
He's only responsible for the children that he...
That he fathered.
Fathered, right.
But the result of that decision, of course, which is a recent Supreme Court decision, is such that it means that if there is a man who is not the father and not the husband in the house, that the woman is eligible to remain on welfare or public assistance. But if the father is in the house, then she's not eligible for welfare.
Now, welfare tends to break up families anyway.
Right. All right. It seems to me so that the basic problem to begin with is to develop a system which would permit the father to stay in the house and to continue such assistance as may be necessary to enable the family to stay together as a unit.
I think that would be one step in the right direction, but our society and the system is not ready for that.
Well, I think that ought to be your goal. I would hope it would be, and by the way...
Our goal is that they give our men some jobs so that they
right.
can stay home
right.
with their wives,
now,
and nobody will have to ask, where's your husband,
now,
or when you've seen your daddy last.
I think that the ladies in your group are real modern-day heroines. There's no doubt about it, because people on welfare are despised because they are on welfare in general, and given the added burden of the color... and the total environment, it makes it truly just about impossible. But I would like to suggest that a realistic goal, a healthful goal, would be the goal of keeping the family together. I think that would be the healthy thing. And it just seems to me that the men are being left out of this, and I'd like to see the men involved in this fight and not only the women. And
we are trying to involve the men.
Well,
we're working toward that.
I would wish you some luck in that, and I would suggest to the listeners that in most large cities, there are affiliates of your organization. Are you
right.
affiliated with the National Welfare Rights Organization?
I am second vice chair.
Yeah, well, good. I hope you might talk a little bit about that, and I know there must be somebody else that wants to talk. So it's been good talking with you. I do a little that I can here in Detroit locally, and I certainly encourage all your efforts.
That's a nice, and thank you for calling, sir.
Good talking.
Thank you. This is NyCall in New York. We'll return to our guest, Mrs. Beulah Sanders, following station identification. Stay tuned for the NyCall Network.
More NyCall with Del Shields and guest, welfare organizer Beulah Sanders, after station identification. Next week on NyCall, a bishop of the Episcopal Church who believes you can communicate with the dead. The first vice president of the Republic of New Africa. The NAACP attorney who was fired for criticizing the Supreme Court. A doctor who wants to legalize abortion. And a Jew who says hurting whitey doesn't help the black man. Monday, the Right Reverend James A. Pike. Is there life after death? Tuesday, Milton Henry. He says Alabama, Georgia, Louisiana, Mississippi, and South Carolina should be turned over to the black man right now. Wednesday, Lewis Steele. He says the 9 men in black think white. Thursday, Dr. Robert Hall. He wants to legalize abortion. And Friday, Nathan Perlmutter of the American Jewish Committee on Black Anti-Semitism. All this next week on Night Call. Ask your own questions direct. Speak for yourself collect from anywhere in North America to guest Beulah Sanders about what sort of rights people on welfare should have. All Night Call Collect from the East and Midwest on area code 212-749-3311. From the West on area code 212-749-4300. And from the New York area on 866-5010. Again, Del Shields.
And we return to our guest, Mrs. Beulah Sanders, and our conversation, People on Welfare and What Sort of Rights They Should Have. And this time we'll go out to Albany, New York. Mr. Hudson is hearing Night Call over WGY in Schenectady. Mr. Hudson?
I think Ms. Sanders is doing a tremendous job. That is actually the savior of this country, is to organize, to do things. And this fellow who called in, I think it was from Florida. People just don't realize that the railroads and the airlines and the farmers, they like to call it subsidies, but it's just a form of welfare, and they're on it. And the welfare system, the way it's set up now in the United States, it's set up to perpetuate welfare and not to perpetuate poverty and not to eliminate it, and it should be. They have college programs that are set up to deal with people on welfare, and they just give them enough money that they can exist, but not enough to really live. So I say to this woman, bravo, you're doing a tremendous job, and the only way that you are going to affect any change on any of these laws that we have on welfare or anything else is for the people to really organize and speak out about it.
Thank you for calling, sir.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Out to Indianapolis, Indiana, Mrs. Jones is hearing Night Call over WTLC-FM. Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Your question, ma'am.
I would like to ask Mrs. Sanders if she is doing anything to further her education now.
Every day. I read quite a few books. I can't afford to go to college because I don't have the money. I read all kinds of welfare laws, all kinds of books that comes out. I have 2 sets of encyclopedias. I think I've furthered my education.
Mrs. Sanders, or Mrs. Jones, one of you have your radio on in the back, and we can hear it.
Oh, probably Mrs. Jones. Mrs. Sanders, do you feel that you are ready for any job now? What job do you feel you could do now?
I'm a woman of all talent. I feel that I can do any type of job that is put before me. I have been a machine operator in a candy factory. I've been a nurse aide. I've been all kinds of. I've been a community worker in the poverty program. And I feel that any job that's given to me, that I will apply my best ability and knowledge to it and see that the job is done well.
Well, have you applied for any jobs and been neglected?
Yes, I have.
I heard you mention earlier that you would only make about $70 or $80, and this was not sufficient. Is that right?
It is not sufficient. I would still have to receive supplementary welfare.
See. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for calling, ma'am.
You're welcome.
Out to Ferndale, Washington, Mr. Pinkerton is hearing Night Call over KERI-FM. Mr. Pinkerton?
Yes.
Your question, sir. Mrs. Sanders is on the line.
I've been listening, and your guest this evening has made the remark several times of the man being put out of the home because the wife is receiving assistance. Is this a type of aid to dependent children, or is this just general type of assistance?
That's aid to dependent children.
Well, maybe here in Washington, you made the remark that that society wasn't ready to give aid to dependent children and leave the man in the home. Maybe out here in Washington, we've leaped the gun because I had to be on welfare because of an injury, and we received ADC, and there was no objection to my living in the home. I even became self-employed because I couldn't get any other type of work, and all they did was adjust the ADC in comparableness to my income until I was making enough money that I was making more than ADC would give us anyway, and then they removed us from the roll. But there was never any question as to my being in the home.
What was your reason for going on welfare, sir?
Because I didn't have a job, and we had three dependent children, and they asked me to sign a thing, you know, to that I would take a job, and they tried to find me work. I have a broken back, and so it's difficult for me to find work, and presently I have a very wonderful job, but at that time there was no question about my being in the home as far as us receiving ADC for five people. There was my wife and I and the three children.
The man in the home has to be working, and he gets supplementary, which is not enough money to help him meet the needs of his family. So in order for his family to at least exist, he leaves the house. You were injured. You needed help. It was a right for the welfare department to help you to get back on your feet. And this is what we're saying. Help the man to get on his feet.
All right.
The welfare is not doing that.
Yeah.
And the man has to leave home in order for his wife to live and his kids to live, to have a roof on his head, over their heads.
Well, I know even out here, of course, rents are more exorbitant in New York than they are here in our little state of Washington. But I know even here, they only allowed us $60 a month for rent, and you couldn't rent a house for less than $80 or $100. And, of course, I think this part of the program is very lacking, but I really like your idea of
they pay a tremendous amount of rent here. In fact, they pay $250 million each year to slum landlords. And that rent ranges from $80 up to something like $200 and some dollars. And no man can afford to pay that kind of rent making $70 a week.
That's right. I'll agree with you there. I really got to end it there. Well, I think you're doing a wonderful thing, and I'm really pitching for you. And I wanted to understand what you were getting at, because I know when I, my experience was not all good, I won't say that, but...
Now, you could have used more money in your check, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. We lived on commodities. You were speaking of commodities a while ago. I know what that canned meat tastes like, too, but I had to eat.
Mr. Bigenden, thank you for calling, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sorry,
up to Troy, New York, Mrs. Bach is hearing Night Call over WGY in Schenectady. Mrs. Bach?
Hello. I just have one bone of contention to take up with Mrs. Sanders. Now, these are only supplemental foods that the welfare provides. And I contend that most of the welfare recipients are ignorant in how to prepare foods. And they do not know how to mend clothes. They don't try to help themselves by repairing things. Perhaps not Mrs. Sanders, but the majority of them. They haven't been taught. And I think the welfare should teach them these things.
Have you been involved with people on welfare, Mrs.
Yes,
Bach?
Yes.
In what capacity?
Yes, and I would say that
in what capacity?
Due to ignorance.
Mrs. Bach?
Yes.
In what capacity have you been involved?
Well, I have known people that have been on welfare.
I see.
And various things that you see, and they just don't know how to use the food that they're given. As I say, all right, maybe they have dried beans, they have flour. These are supplements and oleo. Now, I'll grant you that they give you enough money to possibly buy a few fresh vegetables, to buy some things. The dried milk, oh, I can use that myself. In fact, lots of people do use it. They go out and they buy dried milk to supplement their other milk. And here these people are getting it. It's undoubtedly from a good company or a good brand, although it has no name, and they just are ignorant in the use.
Mrs. Sanders, what is your reply?
My reply is this. I'm quite sure the young lady does not know what it feels like or what it means to be a recipient or to have to depend on the department.
Oh, I
Another
agree.
Thing is that the supplementary food, I disagree wholeheartedly with her when she says welfare recipients are ignorant and they don't know how to sew and mend or they don't know how to cook. Some of the finest cooks are in the welfare rights movement. Some of the finest sewers, I mean women that can make clothes, are in the movement. They do not have the money to buy the material. It is not in their budget. And I do not think they're ignorant. I think they're very intelligent, and I think they can do any job very well because they have proved that they can do the job of any social worker or caseworker in this country.
Yeah, but I still don't believe that these people could take... Years ago, people lived. They had cornmeal. All right, they had blackstrap molasses. They lived. I'll grant you that they probably would enjoy our frozen dinners and things like that. But
do you know what it is to not have meat on your table every night?
Pardon?
Do you know what it is to not have meat on the table every night? To not
well,
have fresh vegetables?
I don't have meat on my table every night. I don't believe that we should have. But you get beans.
But you, Mrs. Bach, Mrs. Bach, you do have a choice whether you want meat on your table every night or not.
Yes, that's true.
And if you decide that you want some powdered milk because one of the companies decides that this is a good way for you to keep calories out of your diet, you go to the store and you buy a beautiful package of powdered milk as opposed to going and buying
that's
one
right.
that's unmarked. But you have a you. But you have an option. Now perhaps the welfare department can put out a cookbook on how to make more delectable these basic items that they have. That might help.
Well, I don't believe that would help.
It comes from the Department of Agriculture.
They could have to take them into classes and they have to show them how. Because I'm not saying that everyone, I don't want you to misunderstand that. Because I think there are a lot of people that should be getting welfare benefits.
May I say one thing? We were born cooks. Who do you think you find in these kitchens and these restaurants?
Now, I have had...
We were born cooks. Nobody has to teach us how to cook.
I know, but
give us enough money so we can fix a decent meal for our kids. That's what we're talking about. We want the kids to have a balanced meal.
Well,
because the teachers are saying today that kids can't learn because they don't have a hot breakfast in the morning.
Well,
and this is what we're talking about. We want enough money so those kids can have a hot meal.
They provide oatmeal, they provide flour, they provide lard. All right, so you can have oatmeal for breakfast. You can have pancakes.
I can see my children right now eating oatmeal every morning.
I love oatmeal, and my kids love it.
Mrs. Bach, Mrs. Sanders, we'll have to break for station identification. Thank you so much for calling.
Bye-bye.
This is Night Call in New York. We'll return to our guest, Mrs. Sanders, following station identification. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest welfare organizer Beulah Sanders after station identification. Tomorrow night on Night Call, housing, says Webster, shelter, lodging, dwellings provided for people. What's wrong with housing programs in this country today and what's being done about it? William Slayton is Executive Vice President of Urban America Incorporated. An independent nonprofit organization says its report concerned with those public policies and private actions necessary to improve the quality of life in the nation's cities. Mr. Slayton knows his public and private housing onions. He served for 5 years as Commissioner of the Urban Renewal Administration of the Housing and Home Finance Agency, and he was the planning partner of the prestigious architectural firm of I.M. Pei Associates. William Slayton of Urban America on what's right and what's wrong with our housing. Tomorrow night on Night Call. Ask your own questions direct. Speak for yourself collect from anywhere in North America to guest Beulah Sanders about what sort of rights people on welfare should have. Call Night Call Collect from the East and Midwest on area code 212-749-3311. From the West on area code 212-749-4300. And from the New York area on 866-5010. Again, Del Shields.
Mrs. Sanders, we have been told, and it has been reported in the daily newspapers, that prices of food and of various food items generally rise at the neighborhood stores on or about the 1st and the 16th of the month whenever the welfare checks arrive. Have you found this to be the case?
Yes. On check days, the food, the prices do go up. And if it comes around the first of the week, the people will more likely get the leftover meats that have been brought in sometime from the middle-class communities into the stores within our neighborhoods. And that is, they're getting second-grade meat instead of the first-grade. And this is what has been happening throughout the country. We've complained about it, and nothing has been done.
Would you tell us something about the family daycare career program that New York City had? And memory serves me right, I think they ran out of money. I think it was about $3.5 million project, and where they trained a couple of hundred mothers.
Well, that family daycare service was supposed to have been set up for mothers, other mothers on welfare to take care of children while they found jobs for welfare mothers. And what had happened is that it didn't go too well in New York City. And the biggest area that they had it in was in Fort Greene in Brooklyn, where they had the welfare mothers participating. And they didn't get too many people jobs and off the welfare roll. And to my knowledge and to my feeling, I think it was a failure somewhat.
I was under the impression there was a figure that they had offered that they had trained something like 700 mothers.
I don't know where they got it from. I haven't seen nobody. I haven't seen that many they train. And I tried to stay on top of every program that they have to make sure that that program is adequate.
We'll take our next call from Toledo, Ohio. Miss Jackson is here in Night Call over WCWA. Miss Jackson, good evening.
Yes, good evening.
Your question, ma'am.
Mrs. Sanders, I would like to know what would the people do if there was no such thing as welfare?
You want an honest answer?
Yes, I do.
I think they would be stealing and robbing and killing and burning down just like they do when they rot. Because people rot when there's tensions over money and all kinds of other things.
Well, then again, people are robbing and rioting now. And I don't see anything wrong with the welfare, but I think that there are a lot of people that are on the welfare system that really don't need to be on there. I mean, I can see if people are...
And you've got about 150,000 people that should be on it.
But there are some people, too.
For every person on welfare... There's two people eligible.
Well, I know people that are on welfare that really are just lazy. I'm lazy myself, and if I can sit down and do like they do, well, I could be on welfare. And I think that the people on welfare are asking for as much as people have that have worked all their lives and that have worked to get what they have. And these people are wanting things that people have actually gone out and worked for.
Well, Ms. Jackson, you didn't hear Mrs. Sanders. She said that there are some people who do deserve to be on
that
deserve to be helped. And I think that the program, if the program was effective, it would be helping those people who actually need the help. Now, no program ever started in this country, no social program ever started in this country, was ever so complete that it did the absolute job. There were a lot of there's the GI Bill of Rights, where the education is offered to a number of ex-GIs, but not every GI takes advantage of it, and some GIs just go there for the money. But at the same time, there are some who actually are interested in improving themselves and getting an education. So let's talk about those people who are asking for help. You have Mrs. Sanders, who has organized the mothers in this area, and they are attempting to dramatize the needs for people on welfare and also asking for changes. Let's talk about Mrs. Sanders and other mothers who are trying to do the job.
This is not only happening here. This is happening across the country. Since our organization was established, we have organized and we 30,000 families and over 200 affiliated groups in nearly 70 cities and 45 states. These are welfare recipients that have been living in poverty, that have been denounced, that have been put to shame by this system that we have to live under. And what we're trying to do is give these people some kind of dignity that the department has taken away from them. And we're trying to give them a chance in this society to really get back on their feet and become a part of the mainstream of life. Everybody has a right to live. And this is all we're asking for, a right to live, a right to participate in the kind of democracy system that we have to live in today. And this is what people are saying. They're tired of being treated like slaves. They're tired of being treated like dogs. They're tired of being treated like dirt. Welfare recipients are not dirt. They are entitled to be treated like any other American citizen.
Well, this is true, but then again, you said that you want better jobs. Now,
of course we do.
I know this,
We're tired of working in Miss Ann's kitchen. We're tired of mopping floors or going out to cook or shuffling papers. We're qualified to do the job. We want better jobs. And we know that they don't have any jobs in this country. Because if they did, they would have jobs for the men. They would get those guys off the corner and give them decent jobs. They could go home and take care of their wives and have as many babies as they want.
Well, if they're hanging on these corners, it seems logical that therefore they aren't educated or they aren't trained for these jobs.
Well, the department should train them. That's their problem. They should train them. They don't train them. And I've said before, they're not willing to train people to get off welfare because there's going to be too many caseworkers out of a job. They're not ready, prepared to deal with that problem.
You see, Ms. Jackson, if you look at the program as it is today, and the program would not allow people to live in slum areas. The program would not permit the rising of prices in areas. They would do more about trying to safeguard the situation that was announced in today's New York Times, where $1 million a month are stolen. We have to talk in terms of trying to do something for a group of people who are asking to become a part of the mainstream. And I think this is where we're trying to go off course. When you talk about people who don't deserve to be on welfare, we've often heard people say, well, I know somebody on welfare who has a Cadillac. But for every person you know on welfare who has a Cadillac, there are 1,000 out there who have no kind of wheels at all, but are only asking for an opportunity to participate. And again, if you start to take care of the black men in this country and give the black man an opportunity to become involved, to become a responsible man, so that he can take care of his share of responsibilities, then you would have no need for much of the welfare program that is in existence today.
In other words, giving back his manhood. That's all you got to do.
Thank you for calling, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you. This time out to Tampa, Florida. Mrs. Perez is hearing Night Call of WFLA. Mrs. Perez?
Yes, sir?
Your question, ma'am.
Mrs. Sanders, I would like to know, I tried for the welfare, and I am married. And for one, they asked me why, you know, I am asking for it. And I asked them because I am pregnant, and me and my husband have to live apart because there is no money. I'm living with my parents, and he's living with his parents. He goes to school, and I go to school, but he works at night, and he has to work from 4 o'clock in the afternoon to about 11, 12 o'clock at night. And we have asked, I even asked him, I said, even for a little amount, and they asked me, they said, why don't I give the baby up for adoption? I said, it's something I don't want to do. And how are we supposed to get help in order for us to live together?
I think, I'm going to give it to you straight. I think you and your husband is going to have to, where did you say you was from?
From Tampa.
Tampa, Florida.
And they're really strict down here. Even my mother can't get it. And she did have three kids, and they cut her off because she got a thing.
We do have a group in Florida. And I would suggest that you write me and let me put you in touch with some people that can really help you. Because this apartment will not help you by yourself. It takes bodies to go down and demand that they give you that help. And I would urge you not to give your child up.
Oh, I am not definitely. I told him if I have to starve, I says I would rather keep the baby. But I said, how am I going to be able to nourish the baby if I don't have anything to nourish the baby with, plus myself, because a mother does need nourishment to have the baby.
That's right.
Well, Mrs. Perez, Mrs. Sanders has offered to help you, and if you'd like to write to her in care of Night Call.
I sure would.
And we're at 475 Riverside Drive in New York. We'll pass the letter on to Mrs. Sanders, and she'll give you some help.
How do you spell her last name?
S-A-N-D-E-R-S.
And Night Call?
Night Call, 475 Riverside Drive in New York.
Repeat that again?
475 Riverside Drive in New York.
And what is the zip code?
You've got me.
We're good.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll take our... Enough time? I'm sorry, time has run out on us. And Mrs. Sanders, we want to thank you so very much for being our guest tonight on Night Call, and we want to wish you and all of the mothers who are attempting to dramatize the plight of people on the welfare the very best, and you have our good wishes.
Thank you very much. It has been a pleasure.
This is Del Shields in New York tonight. People on Welfare, our guest, Mrs. Beulah Sanders. Thank you for being with us. Good night and peace.
Night Call, the first and only nationwide listener call-in show on vital issues. Tomorrow night, same time, same station, public and private housing with William Slayton of Urban America Incorporated. Listen tomorrow night. Discuss freely and responsibly your own personal opinions. Speak for yourself on Night Call. Produced by the United Methodist Church, presented with National Council of Churches, National Catholic Office for Radio and Television, American Jewish Committee, and Urban Coalition.